This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good fit in what they are, in how they play. You know, as a young player going to play for a manager, Pochettino's not far down the list of the top manager that you'd love to go and learn from and play for.
I think he's very near the top.
Absolutely, massively near the top. So he's a huge draw for a player like Grealish, and you know, I think he's a good fit for what they had.
He's a wonderful talent, the kid, and we'll do our best to keep hold of him, but it's obviously going to be difficult.
You know what? I'm not leaving. I'm not fucking leaving! The show goes on! This is my home! They're gonna need a fucking wrecking ball to take me out of here! They're gonna need to send in the National Guard or fucking SWAT team, because I ain't going nowhere!
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
Dylan Hudson, Villa looking to kill this game off now. Callum Hudson charging forward! That's why they love him at Villa Park! A long busting run! A tidy finish!
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. So, a lot has happened since we last spoke. The transfer window is closed. And thanks to our new owners showing they mean business, we've actually bought some players and kept Super Jack. So now Villa can set sail into the new season with positivity and possibility blowing in their sails, with 21,500 season ticket holders, which is up on last season, and kicking off the season with back-to-back wins, which is the first time this century, the last time being when we were partying in 1999 with John Gregory. Ah, the good old days. So coming up in the show, I'll talk about my actual meeting in person with Villa's new owners, which happened since the last podcast episode. I'll also give you my take on the Jack Grealish circus that played out over the last couple of weeks. Also my trip to Hull for the season opener. And then we'll get stuck into listener questions via Instagram. If you want to follow My Old Man Said at Instagram, the address is My Old Man Said, obviously after Instagram.com/. And that's where I post requests for questions. And the standard, as I mentioned on the last show, is actually better than Twitter and Facebook, so make of that what you will. Through the questions, because they touch on a lot about the transfer window and incoming players and the last two games, I will leave the questions to address those topics. So, as you've gathered, this podcast, I'll be flying solo. If you've never listened to the show before, this is actually the first time this has happened. Normally there's a comic sidekick, one Dan Rogers, who's gone a bit AWOL over the last week and hasn't been answering messages that say, let's record a show. He's now on holiday, so do wait for him to get back until you start trolling him on Twitter, informing him of the importance of making regular shows if you're doing a podcast. So, Dan, if you're on a Sun Lounger, just think about all those other people on Sun Loungers who wanted a podcast to listen to while they were lounging in the sun. And the truth be told, he's only on the show anyway just for his accent, just to legitimise the show amongst the hardcore demographic in the Birmingham area, but don't tell him. On a serious note, I've been looking at kind of possible formats and ways of getting other people involved. One of the issues is maintaining the audio quality, so you know, you don't want to do things over Skype and stuff like that. One idea is to get some studio space in Birmingham so people can kind of pop in. Obviously we'd have to get some equipment for that, unless there is a ready setup studio that we can use. If you know of anybody, please do let me know. Another thing is to have okay mic equipment to go on location. If we can get that equipment sorted out, then like just a mixer and two proper mics, then we can evolve the show to be a bit more fluid and a lot more regular as we can get more people involved and beat the streets and get out there. One way to help that happen is obviously through your supporters, my old man said patrons. Be great to get that number over 100. Since the last show, just want to say a quick thanks to Simon Dakin, Mark Lister, Steve Walton, Tim Deheny, hopefully I pronounced that right, Tony Bain, Owen Hoskins, and also thanks to Tom Curry for upping his pledge. To be perfectly honest, without you guys and the other patrons, there's no way Moms would be happening at the moment. I mean, website-wise, it's kind of peanuts. On advertising, for example, unless you're banging out 10 repetitive clickbait stories a day. I would rather close My Old Man Said down than go down that kind of route. So it would be great if you could please support us as a My Old Man Said patron. Check out myoldmansaid.com and click on the Patreon option on the menu bar. And please do join up, and that will be much appreciated. Thanks. Let's push through that 100 patron mark. First of all, before we get on to all matters Villa, the Premier League has also kicked off this season, and I've quickly realised that after two seasons in the Championship, I don't understand the Premier League anymore.
Disappointing result, 2-0. What did you make of the game today?
It's City, innit? You get me? And we've seen the Champions play today. You understand? Like, we tried, innit? Like, but we're not on that level, blood. You can see, fam. Like, you understand? When you've got De Bruyne, Sane, Jesus on the bench, Silva, Company, Otamendi, like, fam, you understand? It's only going to end one way, innit? You understand? And if I be real, like, I think our final ball was terrible today. You understand? I think that was the problem, because we was getting in the right areas, but the final ball was just dead, fam. You understand?
You think that was just down to the fact that you've got new players in the team?
Yeah, I think it is.
And it hasn't gelled yet?
Mm-hmm. I think it is. I think they need a bit more time. You understand? Because remember, like, Torreira's just come back. You understand? I think he'll be a starter. You get me? I done said Torreira and Guendouzi should have started. Guendouzi for me was man of the match. You understand? He made that one little error with Kun, but Chet made a great save, blood. You understand? But back to Chet now, yeah? That was a good save, but what the fuck are you dealing with for the whole rest of the fucking game, blood? That goal, yeah, for Sterling, blood. I'm sorry, you need to save that, blood. You understand? I know man are going to come with, oh, there's bodies in front of him.
Rube, yeah, that's what I thought.
No. You're a world-class keeper. You position yourself correctly so you have the correct view, yeah, of the attack, yeah? You understand?
No, I don't understand. Fam, I'm actually scared of getting promoted to the Premier League next season. I've got no idea what's going on there now. Anyway, that might be academic. We shall see. So, first of all, meeting the new owners. I mean, after the newspapers announced that new owners are incoming, myself and other members of the Aston Villa fan consultation group received personalised letters via email signed off by the two owners. Just quickly, the fan consultation group is a selection of supporters who either run Lions clubs, independent Aston Villa supporter groups, major Villa websites, and other media. So the idea is through your various outlets, communicate to supporters if they have any questions and what they want on the agenda. That's relayed to the club. We meet up, we have our discussion, get the answers that supporters want. And obviously, you know, it helps us understand how the club is actually working. And then we'd relay it back to supporters. Anyway, so, you know, you receive this letter, you think, oh, nice touch. But the next day in the morning, and, you know, we knew they were trying to work out a time to meet the owners as soon as possible. And in the morning, the next day, we received an email, I think it was like 8:30, inviting the group members to Bodymore Heath to meet the two owners, potentially. First of all, there was going to be a meeting with their representatives, and then the owners, more than likely. So, you know, luckily most of us could make it, and others, you know, took time off work to travel to get there. And fast forward, first of all, we met, I think there was two reps for Nassef Suarez and one rep for Wes Edens. And I think I joked on social media or on a post about this meeting that it was a bit like, you know, meeting the Whalen Corporation, which you'll know what I'm talking about if you've seen any of the Alien films. They're asking you, you know, what the pros and cons have been about supporter relationships, how, you know, how the group's been working, what kind of gripes you have. And it wasn't, they weren't quite there sitting with clipboards and white scientific coats, but you know, they took notes and they elaborated, you know, by asking questions back and basically just to get a, you know, just to do a recce and find out as much as possible, you know, from supporters. So early in the day, it was quite encouraging because, you know, the background to this is, you know, the government recently brought in a structured dialogue telling football clubs that they have to meet their supporters twice a year for, you know, proper meetings. And, you know, this is something that's been a concern at government level. So the fact that Villa have set up this group and it's been running for 2 years and we've had regular consultation and, you know, we've met the manager, we've met the dearly departed Steve Round and Keith Wynas, you know, Keith Wynas regularly. And this is something with my own meetings with club reps of other clubs, you know, they've been quite envious of because, I mean, there's some real farces going on. I mean, especially like, for example, Hull. Well, we'll mention the Hull situation a little later. Anyway, in this meeting, there wasn't, you know, you can't go in there asking questions just about Grealish and financial fair play. Obviously, financial fair play is something that's kind of sensitive. And also, you kind of don't want to announce your strategy on it, if you know what I mean. If you, you know, you're kind of playing poker, you might, in the early stages, hardball it. And because at the moment, there's 8 teams who have broken or potentially are in a situation where they could break financial fair play. So there's a bit of room for pushing it a bit. And obviously new owners coming, so they're inheriting, let's say, a mess. And so there's a bit of mitigation there straight away that they can plead to, but you don't want to be saying these things in public, so to speak. So, and also they're obviously just through the front door. So I, you know, I took it as an opportunity to just, you know, just feel them out a little bit. And although it's obviously it's an informal meeting and a private meeting, you know, I just wanted to kind of get some clues on how they view co-ownership, because obviously Dr. Tony is still floating around in the background and, you know, owns 45%. But you kind of get the impression that Suarez and Edens are running the show and, you know, are kind of strategizing and putting a plan in action now. And basically clearing up Tony's mess. You know, I asked Edens about whether it'd been a proactive thing to look to invest in a football club or, you know, whether they just got a message in the bottle, essentially, from Dr. Tony and decided it was a potential investment. But as he said, you know, they'd been looking into a potential Miami franchise, MLS franchise of David Beckham. Because, you know, Edens has got a bit of infrastructure in the Miami area and a company, real estate company, that kind of has a few fingers in pies. But at the end of the day, they like the scope of, I mean, they're both football fans, but they like the scope of owning a team that, you know, was playing at the top level, obviously European football. And, you know, there is a chance of playing in the Champions League if you get it right. The ceiling is higher than just having an MLS club. And, you know, if you have a successful MLS club, then it's what's the ceiling there? It's basically local in America, and the game doesn't actually translate nationwide in the same way basketball, baseball, and the NFL does. So it's, let's say it's a bigger canvas and more money potentially to aim for. They answered in, you know, considered manner. I mean, Edens has obviously has experience of, you know, running a sporting franchise. And so that all bodes well. He's not a novice learning on the job and trusting, let's say, people who may take advantage of him. He obviously stressed that there was a need to get a good CEO in, and also on the, you know, the sports science side, there's obviously scope, and there's also, you know, scope to share, let's say, sporting intelligence between the Milwaukee Bucks and Aston Villa. So in that respect, I think it's been positive. It was a, you know, constructive and cordial meeting. There was no crazy promises or anything stupid. It was all kind of measured. They did say it would take time, but also at the same time, you know, they emphasized they were in it for the long haul, and you didn't get the impression that they were going to be acting rash or, you know, foolish. And, you know, we've already had some clues to their potential endeavours. So anyway, at the moment, I would say two thumbs up on that. And obviously, I mean, the club's transformed in the 2 weeks since they've been here. Their first test was obviously the Jack Grealish situation, which, well, let's talk about that now. When it kicked off, essentially, the situation was Villa are in the shit. Financial fair play, people are throwing around the figure of 40 million needs to be made up, and, you know, that became the magic figure which Villa wanted for Jack Grealish. Before I go on, there is a little bit of irony, because if the figures reported are correct, the new Villa owners bought a 55% share of the club for 30 million, let's say 35 million tops. So Daniel Levy could have just shelled out 30 million. Got control in stake of Aston Villa and just turned it into a Spurs feeder club and shipped across Jack Grealish. Anyway, joking aside, Grealish potentially wanted to stay, potentially could be looking at it and say, well, this is the second failed season in the Championship and it's, you know, it's time to now spread my wings. But the upshot was, and, you know, this is my reading of the situation, from Spurs' perspective, Jack Grealish is a good player, but he's a player for tomorrow in the context of their first 11, you know, which is obviously slugging out in the Champions League, and, you know, they can beat Real Madrid, as they demonstrated. So they're, you know, they're a top team at the moment with ambitions to challenge for the title and, you know, obviously progress in the Champions League. So does Grealish improve their first 11 at the moment? No. Would they like Jack Grealish in their squad? Yes. Do they see an opportunity where they can get Jack Grealish for the future at a good cheap price now, because Villa are desperate? Knowing Daniel Levy, the strategy was always going to be to lowball Villa initially, or indicate a lowball figure, and then come in at the end of the transfer deadline when Villa were, you know, obviously on their knees, and just pick him up. Now, they're not in any rush. I mean, there was many stories written every day and reacting to, you know, certain bits of information. For example, Spurs were going to America on a pre-season tour. Cue the stories of, oh, Grealish has played his last game in the friendly against Warsaw because he's joining up with the Spurs squad to fly out on Sunday to America, blah, 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 blah. And you're thinking, well, Pochettino will only be desperate to get him on that pre-season tour if he wants to bed him down into the first 11. But as we've already maintained, since, you know, Grealish would be a, you know, an acquisition for the long term, they would still stick to the strategy of low-balling Villa and getting him on the cheap. And, you know, when I say get him on the cheap, we're talking about, you know, saving 10 million or so. And, you know, when you've just bought a new stadium, if you can save 10 million, you jolly well do that. So I didn't buy that he was going to America and there was any rush to get him. And, you know, I read a story about this, and that was the first story, and I just left it out there. I wasn't writing a bloody story every day panicking and saying he's played his last game. You know, these situations require a bit more of a poker face. But at the same time, because Spurs were going to lowball us, that gave us time. And in that time, obviously, Dr. Tony and his crew were scrambling around for the finances. And you don't react desperately. If you've got time, you got to hustle and you got to take it to the end, because we're talking about, you know, Villa's best talent, and we're talking about somebody's whole homegrown, and we're talking about, I mean, if you're talking in American terms, you're talking about the franchise star, you know, the poster boy, that if Villa get up this season, then you're building a team around him in the Premier League, and that homegrown quality and the fact that he's a fan is worth a hell of a lot, and it encourages people. I mean, he's a good player to watch for starters, but it encourages people to buy season tickets, and, you know, it gives the club a bit of an identity. And, you know, we're talking about a flair player, so that's always a big plus considering some of the crap that we've had to watch over the last few seasons. So they, you know, Edens knows about keeping his franchise star, you know, with the Bucks. So Dr. Tony's obviously had a conversation with Grealish when it's DEFCON 1 financial meltdown and said, sorry, son, we're going to have to sell you. So Grealish has got it in his head now that, you know, he's off. This summer, he's off. So whatever his initial reaction, you know, as the days go by, he's obviously starting to, I wouldn't say use the word warm to the idea, but you know what I mean? He's getting used to the idea of he's going to have to leave. And, you know, he'll be subconsciously persuading himself that it's the move to make. In the meantime, since Spurs aren't pushing the issue, this allows the investment to come in, the new owners to come in. To be frank, we got a bit lucky there. The stars aligned, and we've actually got two proper owners, financially speaking. And they obviously, you know, bit of due diligence on the current situation, and they realise the importance of Grealish and the importance in the midterm, the short term, and then obviously potentially in the long term. Because their concern is, as Dr. Tony's concern was getting promotion, because that's when the party starts, once you get access to the Sky TV money. So I'm keeping that in there. I don't care what you think. When you're talking to yourself for so long, you need to break it up a bit. So once they came in, obviously they're thinking, well, hands off. We're not going to get lowballed here. I don't know. Obviously, we don't know how suddenly they've become resilient to financial fair play. You know, we started buying players, for God's sake. I mean, we haven't been splashing the cash. We've been quite astute in our acquisitions in terms of, you know, their transfer fees, etc. We've still got another window where we can offload other players to obviously make some of the money back. And as I said, there's, you know, plenty of clubs in this division with problems at the moment. And obviously, we have the mitigating circumstances, which, for example, AC Milan got new owners, and they were banned from the Europa League by UEFA's financial fair play. But, you know, using the improvement under the new owner's card, that got, was it the Court of Sporting Justice or something? I can't remember what the court was called. There, you know, there was appeal to this European court, and AC Milan, because of their improvement with their new owners, that they were re-admitted into the Europa League. So they've obviously, you know, had a hard, long look at this financial flair play situation and decided, well, Grealish also gives us the best opportunity of getting promoted if we build a, you know, proper team around him. And away we go. Meanwhile, in the press are saying that Grealish is frustrated about having to stay, and he's not happy, and Dr. Tony promised him, I don't think Dr. Tony promised him, I think Dr. Tony told him that he was going to have to go, but obviously the situation changed. So I think that's an old, you know, this is not transfer deadline day Grealish sulking around. He already knows what's happening, and, you know, he knows his destiny is still at Villa. And the press are basically stretching this out just so they can write stories and try to create a scenario where, you know, it's still in the balance and we don't know what's happening. I mean, even after, you know, this weekend's games, you know, the Daily Star, I think the headline was, Spurs are regretting not putting an offer in early on. And you read the article's the same article they've been writing every day for the last 2 weeks. So obviously it's in the media's interest to just change the headline and pump out the same piece of shit story. But anyway, it's great to keep Grealish. Just watching that Wigan game, and you could tell, you know, they're not quite on the wavelength at the moment, but him and John McGinn, we're starting to warm to each other as the game progressed. And I think the acquisition of John McGinn, who we'll talk about in a little while, is key to unlocking Grealish's potential a little bit more and getting even more out of him. And it will make sense keeping him, hopefully, this season because of the McGinn acquisition, who, you know, at some stage was being touted as a replacement. But, you know, in the same breath, even if they weren't selling Grealish, at least it was a kind of backup if suddenly Spurs came out with, you know, with the magical offer. Anyway, we'll talk more about them linking up in a sec. Just quickly, I mean, the season definitely started in a much more positive mood with the new owners coming in. I mean, you could just tell that at Hull. I mean, I went to Hull. I've got some family up there, so I've been to, you know, when Villa play at Hull, I always tend to go up there. Problem was this time, obviously, I was going to go in the Villa away end, but then suddenly there was 9 people that wanted to go. You can't really get a row of 9 tickets in the Villa away end with 2 days to go, so we had to do the Hull end, which obviously, as you would have probably seen, wasn't that hard because half the stadium was empty. I mean, the reason for that, obviously, the owners, the Egyptian owners, I mean, you just have to look at the new kit. The badge is just a tiger, and they've been trying to call them the Hull Tigers and get rid of the whole city name from the off, and that's been the continual battle. I mean, the Hull Supporters Trust, they wanted to fly an aeroplane, because it obviously was on Sky, over the stadium before the game, and then, you know, they saw what was happening with Dr. Tony, and I think one of them contacted me about a month ago, saying, would Villa fans want to join in and we can do a joint plane? But at that stage, you're going to, you know, always think, give a chance to somebody to dig themselves out of a hole. So obviously Dr. Tony was still trying to put this right, or do good by us, shall we say. And also, you know, they're flying the plane over the stadium. It's a bit of an overused, kind of almost a tired cliche for disgruntled fans. But I don't think they went for the plane in the end. I mean, I can't remember seeing it. Anyway, the 9 of us that turned up, I think we doubled the home attendance because it was pretty much a ghost town. And it's a shame because I remember the first time I went to Hull was 2006, the FA Cup. I think it was one of the last few months of David O'Leary's reign. I think it was in January. We won 1-0. Gareth Barry scored. I mean, there was a team of, you know, Juan Pablo Engel, Melberg, Milner, Barry, and then a bunch of players that weren't that good. But, you know, the atmosphere was good. I remember, you know, being in the Villa end, and you just look to your left, and there was... thousands of supporters not even looking at the game, but all looking towards the Villa end, just going, Yorkshire, 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 Yorkshire. And we were like looking at each other going, fucking hell, you know. This time around, though, it was...
No noise from the Yorkshire boys, no noise from the Yorkshire boys, no noise from the Yorkshire boys, no noise.
And, you know, subsequent games there have always been a decent, you know, for a home atmosphere, it's always been pretty decent there. So it was a bit of a sad state of affairs for Hull. So hopefully, they can rectify that. I mean, the game...
When we went 1-0 down, you thought, oh, shit, here we go again. But, I mean, to their credit, they showed resilience. The performance wasn't that great. And same against Wigan. It was kind of disjointed. And considering, I mean... Against Hull, considering most of those players had played together for pre-season, you would expect a bit more of a, you know, pattern to their play. And there was the first signs of Codger being out of sorts. I mean, he hasn't had a great pre-season either. And against Wigan also, his body language didn't look great. I don't know if it's a confidence thing, but problem is, the longer this goes on in terms of a drought, fans will get on his back, and it's not going to be... helpful, so maybe cut him some slack in the short term at least. I mean, I'm not the greatest Codger fan in terms of, I just don't think he's that all-round player. He hasn't got the vision, and sometimes he may score in a game, but if he actually elected to pass, we'd probably score more goals. So sometimes he costs us potential goals. So it's almost like one step forward, two steps back kind of equation to Codger.
apart from that, it was good to see Andre Green back. I was at the West Ham game that he scored, Banksy Stadium, and obviously went on and scored a couple more in Germany against Dresden. Thought he gives Villa a proper outlet, and you saw against Wigan, once Grealish and McGinn get going, it's great to have that pace on the left and a genuine threat. I mean, I'd be quite interested, speaking of Codger, to see what happens when Hogan gets back, and if Villa can keep the ball, and if Grealish and McGinn are kind of scheming, whether that will help the Hogan situation. Obviously, there was three goals by defenders against Hull. Elphick, Elmo, and a Wunderbar goal from Hutton. And against Wigan, obviously Chester opened proceedings up, and then an own goal. And then you could say Bjarnason is part of the defence playing DM. So we haven't scored a goal yet from a forward player.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewellery from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I don't think our back four will carry us through the season, scoring in every game. But against Hull, I think the scoreline flattered us. Although saying that against Wigan, especially when it was 2-2, when Axel Tuyenzebe went off, there was some woeful marking. I think Elmo slipped back on into right back, and they had a couple of free headers, which they should have scored. And if they made it 3-2, then it might have been a bit of a different end result. But overall, 6 points is 6 points. I think Bruce has got lucky with the fixture list, because we've got quite a soft start, so it gives the team a chance to iron things out and actually get going as a team. And especially I think it helps John McGinn in the centre, because I think he's going to be quite pivotal, as I said, in terms of unlocking Grealish. And between the two of them, they'll be like the heartbeat of the actual team. Also gives Bruce a chance to decide on what his defence is actually going to be. I mean, at the moment, the defence doesn't inspire confidence, apart from at the other end of the pitch when they're scoring goals. You know, two wins on the trot after that poor start we had last season. And this is a season where I think, you kind of get the feeling that the club and supporters realise now it's how serious not getting promoted, the impacts that it kind of has. And now it's a bit more tunnel vision that we've got to do it. So if we can get a good start, there's a banana skin of Brentford coming up, like team we haven't beaten in four games since we've been in the Championship. But everything's kind of winnable at the start, and we don't have to play any of the contenders until, you know, a few weeks on. So fingers crossed there. Right, let's get on to those questions sent in via Instagram from listeners. It's time for Mom's Question Time. Current affair junkies in the UK should know where this jingle comes from. I'll try to keep the answers short because there's quite a few questions. I've actually mislaid the name of the first one. But somebody anyway on Instagram says, can we all chip in and buy snods? Well, the number 11 shirt is free, so, we're not going to buy him, obviously, but the loan window is still open. I think he came on against Liverpool, but I don't know. The good thing is, I mean, I think he's still playing for his West Ham career, I think, in the next couple of games. And then, obviously, I think if he's not happy there, if he's not getting game time, then that question may pop up at the end of the month. And, you know, he may even request that kind of transfer. It would seem that Villa could pull it off if they wanted to, wage-wise. So watch that, you know, watch this space on that one. Ben Clark asked, do you think Steve Bruce will drop a midfielder to play McGinn, or is he a super sub? Max Stokes asks, is he a Grealish replacement? Where does he fit in? Callum McMillan asked, is McGinn a good signing? Well, as we saw against Wigan, straight in. So he's obviously a big part of the plan. And as I alluded when talking about Grealish, I do see him as a key that can unlock the door of Grealish's full potential. I mean, in the game against Wigan, at the start, you saw Grealish. I mean, first of all, McGinn, he's always running. He's quite tenacious, and he seems to be very fast, or his anticipation is really good over, like, the 5 yards. Because there was that moment, he did a 1-2 with Grealish. Grealish played it to him. He passed it back to Grealish, and then Grealish kind of first time returned the pass, and McGinn didn't quite get on it at the start. We didn't read it, and it looked like a Wigan player was going to get it to the first, and you actually saw Grealish kind of turn around and, you know, a semi-disappointment. But out of nowhere, just over like 2 steps, he got to the ball, tackled the Wigan player, and then he was through. And you saw Grealish, a little bit look of surprise there. And, you know, that's just like tuning and understanding, you know, what each other can do. And you saw, I mean, he's like, he's kind of quite relentless, and but also always making runs and offering himself, which was one of my big bugbears of this Villa team, was like the movement off the ball. But McGinn suddenly gives you that, and is a kind of a dynamic presence. So I think once him and Grealish start to tune in, because I saw him like offering himself for Grealish, and Grealish would play the long ball, where I think now Grealish is starting to understand who he's playing with, he'll start to trust him, and then there'll be a bit more positive possession from the two, because they can start scheming together. And then you know if they're going more, let's say, on the left hand side, you've suddenly got Andre Green they can release. If Hogan ever gets fit again, then there's the potential to actually unlock the door for Hogan as well, because he's somebody who could probably benefit from that kind of slip pass in, because he does, you know, he does make runs and tries to get on the shoulder of the defender. So I think this could be quite a signing. He's obviously not a super sub. He's not Tommy Johnson, and I think he could potentially be the best signing Villa have made since they've been relegated. I mean, we're talking about a player who's less than 3 million, and it's almost like the Scottish football loophole or something. Because yes, he has 1 year on his contract, but you would be thinking, like, just based on that one game against Wigan, you were thinking 5-6 million there straight away. And he's, you know, definitely better value than some of the shit we've bought recently. John Moore 5 says, we now have Bunn, Nayland, Moreira and Sarkic. Why? There was a couple of questions before we loaned Steer out, so that kind of answered their questions already. Why have we got 4 keepers? Well, Sarkic isn't really a first-team squad man, so we have got the 3 keepers that you would expect. I think there was a bit of surprise when Steer went initially. I thought Steer would, let's say, play a couple of games before he would go out on loan, just to ease in the new boys, so to speak. But it became apparent quite early that Bruce rates Ojan Nyland as the number one. Let's talk about him. It wasn't convincing, but you're starting off a game where you're trying to ease yourself in and get some confidence, and first of all, you haven't got a settled centre-back pairing. Next of all, you get sent a hospital ball where you have no chance of getting rid of it, which leads to Fulham's goal. So that kind of puts you in the supporters' bad book straight away, and you know, rocks your confidence. So it's hard to settle into that game. I mean, came out, I think, in the second half, you know, flapped at a few balls that came across. But I think it's one of the harder positions to let's say have your debut for a club is when you're a goalkeeper. So, you know, let's see what happens against Ipswich, where I think you'll be tested a bit more, because he actually didn't have that much to do against Wigan. I mean, he probably picked the ball out the net more times than he had a proper save to make. So let's, you know, let's not crucify him just yet, Villa fans. Let's see what happens in the forthcoming games. It'd be good to see Deandre Moreira get a start against Yeovil, just to see what he's all about. Andy 1982 says, which player will shine this season? I think John McGinn, by the end of the season, especially if we got promoted, he will be, him and Grealish will be the top men. I'm just thinking, I mean, I expect Chester to be decent, although I'd you probably want a bit more of him kind of marshalling the defence and talking a bit more. You know, hopefully picked up a few, picked that up from Terry, but hopefully Bruce can settle on his centre back as SAP at his back line. I mean, a lot of it will be where he decides to end up playing Axel Zenzebi, because I don't know, I think it's a bit conservative if he plays right back, because I don't think he offers anything in the opponent's half once he crosses the halfway line in attacking capacity. I mean, I think he's pretty solid, he's athletic. Is he a ready-made centre-back? Well, I would play him against Yeovil for starters there, and you know, see how he fares. But I mean, at the moment, I play Elphick. I mean, I've always campaigned for Elphick when Terry got injured, and since Terry got injured, Elphick hasn't put a foot wrong really at centre back. So I don't know. I would go. I would probably go Elphick just out of safety, and then you know, got the problem of where does that, you know, Axel fit in? But you know, that's not my problem. My main concern is winning and getting promoted. Cred W says, what's next for Jack? Well, probably scoring the winner in the FA Cup against Spurs or Fulham this season would be nice. And then promotion. I'll keep that one short. Decamotto says, should we now go 4-5-1 with the players at our disposal with two attacking midfielders? I think the formation, that's pretty much what Bruce played against Wigan, with McGinn and Grealish, the schemers. Green and Elmo on, you know, on their respective flanks. Obviously, you can, you know, switch in and change a Domar for one of those two as well. Then you've got the question of, where does Horahan come in? And I was quite glad when he brought Horahan on. And obviously, he was only on the pitch for a few minutes before he crossed it in for the Bjarnason winner. That, I don't know if it's down because we didn't have the forwards on the bench, but it wasn't a case of throwing on every forward. It seemed to be he actually thought about being a bit more constructive of, you know, in terms of how we could potentially break Wigan down in the last minutes. But as I said, it may just be because there was no forwards to just throw one in a blind panic a la last season. Another question. This goes on to the one that got away, essentially. DanB677 asks, what happened to Joe Bryan? Noah9674 says, is Joe Bryan a snake? And Yo Nason says, Joe Bryan, what the fuck? Oh, and Harry Hark says, what's your verdict on the Joe Bryan transfer saga? Well, this one is something I didn't really bother about, because until it's in the bag, he's not your player. When Steve Bruce started to talk about and, you know, entertain questions from journalists about Joe Bryan, normally when a manager starts talking about a player, that means it's pretty much deal done and they've just got to iron their pants and socks and put them in their suitcase and then obviously turn up for training the next day. But by all accounts, he had a medical, and as Bruce said, he was literally driving to Bodymore Heath to sign the final contract, and he was 15 minutes away from being a Villa player. I'd love to see a breakdown of his whole day and see where that 15 minutes could have been taken out of. I mean, if somebody at the club was chatting to him at the canteen for 15 minutes, then they may have been responsible for buggering up the contract. But you could tell it was definitely a position that Villa could have done with him in. To be honest, apart from the games that we played Bristol City, and let's not forget we beat them 5-0 in one of those games, I'm not crying over spilt milk because I don't even know what the milk would taste like. So, is he a snake? No, because he thought at the time that Villa was the best deal for him. And then obviously if Fulham are coming in and saying, look, we'll pay you double or, you know, a substantial more money. And obviously it's the Premier League. So I don't know. Joe Bryan, I think just leave him be. I think it was just a case of, you know, social media and the fanboys whipping themselves up into a froth. But it's just another reason to beat Fulham when we meet again. That's how I sum it up anyway. Fuck 'em. Next question. Andrew Rankin, 27. I don't know if that's his age or if there are 27 Andrew Rankins in the world. He asks, if you could change one thing about Villa Park, what would it be? I mean, there's a load of things that we could get into, you know, like safe standing, food, drink, entertainment, etc., etc. But one thing I'd probably get rid of is that Chinese flag on the top. We just like to mention Chinese flag in every one of these podcasts where we can anchor it in. But you may have noticed at the game against Wigan, there is now an Egyptian flag and an American flag up there on top of the Doug Ellis stand next to the Chinese flag. Now, did I tell you what I thought about these flags? Sorry, the Chinese flag in previous podcasts? I think I must have. Where it's just a strange thing that, you know, if you were an owner and you bought a club, let's say in Europe, in Spain or France, you wouldn't be sticking a, you know, St. George's or Union Jack up there. It's just a bit insensitive. And it's like saying that we own this and, when you know, as we always maintain, the supporters own the club. So it seems a bit egotistical. Now, my reckoning is I don't think Nassef or Wes Edens would have stuck those flags or would have ordered those flags to be stuck up there. I think it's a Dr. Tony thing just to justify keeping up the Chinese flag, because suddenly he's not the majority shareholder anymore. So that was the first thing he's thinking. Well, that's the Chinese flag out the window. But he's probably been a bit proactive and he's like, quick, put up an Egyptian flag and put up an American one. And that's how he keeps the Chinese one up there. By the way, nothing against, as I explained before, nothing against the Chinese and nothing against their flag. It's just, I don't think it's unnecessary. And it just sends out bad vibes. For example, like, you know, when Randy Lerner took over, he wasn't sticking, you know, stars and stripes up there, even though there's one up there now. Anyway, so half tongue in cheek, that one, that answer. But you know what I'm talking about. Rax P asks, which academy players are our future first team players? There's a lot of hype about the academy. And having watched the current crop a few times now in under 23 games, the most impressive I've seen any player from that squad is Keenan Davis's initial appearances. You know, obviously the first one against Norwich, where he kind of gave us a legitimate target man who actually held the ball up. And and Bruce, because the, you know, Villa have spent big on Hogan and Codger, once they were fit, was reluctant to use Davis. And we could have done, you know, when we played Bolton in the snow, where we needed more of a direct and physical presence, that's when Davis should have been playing and not sitting on the bench. There's a few away games where, you know, Hogan was playing and getting like 7-8 touches a game and hardly seeing the ball, when Keenan Davis was a, you know, seriously viable option. So I would say him, but I don't believe Bruce has got the conviction to put him out there. Also, you know, there's still question marks on whether, you know, Davis is if he's going to get into double figures in terms of scoring, because he didn't seem to be, hasn't got his eye in yet, but, you know, he's still very young. But he's shown things that you never expected him to show at this stage, certainly. Another player I like is Doyle Hayes as well. I think he's very tidy in the midfield, and he's somebody who could potentially develop and turn into a useful player. You know, he's the kind of player that keeps things ticking over, and he's very tidy in possession, which is something you don't often see. In terms of Callum O'Hare, the jury's still out. Rushton Hepburn-Murphy, I'm not convinced. His main attributes have meant to be his pace, but I've never seen him burn away from defenders. I mean, we saw it against Wigan, where a couple of times he was put through, but he didn't outpace the centre back. And I've seen that in under 23 games as well, where he's like put clean through, and he's not pulling away from that defender. He's actually been run down and tackled. So we'll see. You don't want to throw, you know, young players under the bus at the moment, because who knows what can happen. Talking about throwing people under the bus, Kirk Bowen says, are both the Gardner brothers now both officially wankers? Go back to the last podcast to say what we thought about Gary Gardner. And it kind of really wasn't to be at Villa, so you can't blame him for getting out of there. But his brother's obviously put a word in for him, but it's a weird one. I mean, can he sleep at night? Apparently can, tweeting, keep right on. Anyway, it'd be interesting to see what reaction he gets when Villa plays Blues. If I was Villa, I'd have said, no, he can play if he wants against Villa, just for the bants. Vancouver Villa, how do we make Villa into a truly global brand. Well, that starts on the pitch. They start to entertain, and you know, people were actually waving Grealish away and saying, "Oh, good luck, you owe us nothing, and good luck at Spurs, blah blah blah. They'll help you develop." Well, hang on a minute, what about Villa? And Villa have got no identity, as I said on one of my tweets. And Grealish is potentially that man who can give you it. And you need such poster boys if you want to be a brand. I mean, how does Barcelona become a global brand? Well, obviously they've had many a face from managers like Cruyff, you know, through to some of the players they've had. But recent times, it's all been about Messi. And so if you've got Grealish dazzling, and you know, this transfer saga would have done him a lot of good in terms of PR, and it, you know, helps Villa big up the PR, because suddenly the world knows that there's a player that Spurs were apparently desperate to get. They wanted him, but they weren't desperate. And if Grealish starts to shine and John McGinn helps him do that and Villa get promoted and, you know, Grealish is actually chipping in a few more assists and goals than he has been doing, then suddenly you've got a marketable player at your club, and that helps increase, you know, the branding. But at the end of the day, it's success, and also exposure in the Premier League is a big, big stepping stone. So we need promotion first. Pat Talini says, what should our realistic expectations be for the season? Well, this ties in with another question by, and the handle is Lob Who. With the new signings and staying of Jack Grealish, is top six a good target to have, or dare to dream top two finish? Well, I think the target remains the same, and realistic expectations are actually the same, and that's automatic. Is where we've got to go, and it'll help if we have a good start. So a few more wins in these initial months to set us up. I mean, last season we started like a bloody donkey, you know, in the Cheltenham Gold Cup. But if we can string a few wins together at the start, that'll get supporters believing that this is, you know, a promotion season, and we'll be up at the up at the races for proper. So I think, you know, we go for the title, obviously. I mean, we're in it to win it. Top two, we'll settle for that. And then top six, if it all doesn't go right, then obviously it's the get out of jail card, and hopefully we can make it through the playoffs. But top two, it's got to be, hopefully. Supermac1987 says, can I trust DJ Ruski today? I don't know what he's exactly referring to there. I know DJ Ruski is a Villa fan, and I checked his Instagram when I got this question. Maybe it's his Twitter. And one of the comments that DJ Ruski says was, we're going up this year, mark my words. So I'm saying you could trust him on that day, because it's a fair shout. Think about where we were, let's say, three, four weeks ago, and our aspirations. I mean, it's some extent it was actually surviving. So where we are now, as I said at the start of the show, there's possibilities now and a chance to build a bit of momentum and positivity. So this is all good. Problem is, when you're doing a podcast on your own, you've got no foil to bounce off. And in terms of my humour, it's kind of, it's reactive, reacting to the conversation, reacting to people. So when you're just chortling on, unless you're doing it relaxed, like a almost like a diary thing of what you're doing in your own life, then and making comedy about that, then it's quite hard just to do something on your own when you're talking about a certain thing, if you know what I mean. If you enjoy the show and the website, please do become a patron, because this is the way we can really transform what we do here, because we got the brains, we got the ideas. It's just we've got to be able to justify doing it and also have the means to do it. So that would be greatly appreciated. As I said before, myomanset.com, and click on the patron link on the menu bar. Right, until next time, where I will be joined no doubt by somebody, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from me. Goodbye.
My old man said,
Super Jack! 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 Super Jack!
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.